ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैस्तिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमिगॉड्स टेक्स्ट 27। एकायनसौ द्विफलस्त्रिमूला चतुरस पंचविध षडात्मा सप्तत्वगष्टविटप नवाक्षो दश छडिदीखग हि आदि वृक्षः एकायनः। The body of an ordinary living being is fully dependent on the material elements. Aso that the phala in this body we are subject to material happiness and distress, which result from karma. Three mulaha, having three roots and three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, upon which the body is created. Chatuhu rasaha, four rasas or tastes. Pancha vidaha, consisting of five senses for acquiring knowledge. The eyes, ears, nose, tongue and touch. Sadatma, six circumstances. Lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger, and thirst. Sapta Twak, having seven covering, skin, blood, muscle, fat, bone marrow, and semen. Ashta Bitapaha, eight branches, the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, and also the mind, intelligence and ego. Nava Aksha, nine holes. Dasa Chadi, 10 kinds of life air, resembling the leaves of a tree. Di khaga, two birds, the individual soul and super soul. He indeed Adi Vrikshaha. This is the original tree or construction of the material body. Whether individual or universal. Translation and by and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The body, total body and the individual body are of the same composition, may figuratively be called the original tree. From this tree, which fully depends on the ground of material nature, come two kinds of fruits, the enjoyment of happiness and suffering of distress. The cause of the tree forming its three roots is association with three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. The fruits of bodily happiness have four tests, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, which are experienced through five senses for acquiring knowledge in the midst of six circumstances, lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger and thirst. The seven layers of bark covering the tree are skin, blood, muscle, fat, bone, marrow and semen. And the eight branches of tree are the five gross and three subtle elements, earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. The tree of the body has nine hollows, the eyes, the ears, the nostril, the mouth, the rectum and the genitals and 10 leaves and the 10 airs passing through the body. In this tree of the body there are two birds. One is the individual soul and the other is the super soul. Purport, a very big purport. This material world is composed of five principal elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, all of which are emanations from Krishna. Although materialistic scientists may accept these five elements as the cause of material manifestation, these elements in their gross and subtle states are produced by Krishna, whose marginal potency also produces the living entities working within the material world. The seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita clearly states that the entire cosmic manifestation is a combination of two, of Krishna's energy, superior energy, and inferior energy. The living entities are superior energy and the inanimate matter elements are His inferior energy. And the dormant stage, everything rests in Krishna. Material scientists cannot give such a thorough analysis of material structure of the body. The analysis of the material scientist concerns itself only with inanimate matter. But this is inadequate because the living entity is completely separate from the material bodily structure. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, Aparayam itastu anyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat. Besides the inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Although the material elements emanate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, they are separated elements and are sustained by the living elements. I will read gradually, but let us discuss this first two paragraphs. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pashyatya Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much for being present in this Bhagavatam class. It is very auspicious to be in Kartik month in Sridham Vrindavan, and more auspicious to be able to associate with the devotees like all of you and get an opportunity to speak about Krishna. This particular canto is about Krishna Katha. Srinotam Sukatha Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana Pridyantasthahi Avadrani Vidunoti Suhrut Satam. So topics of Krishna as spoken by Krishna, Sukatha, or spoken by his pure devotees. By auspicious process of hearing Punya Sravana Kirtana and describing, speaking. Sravana and Kirtana, both process. Then all the dirts within the heart, Abhadra, Anartha, unwanted things, destroyed. Pridyantasthahi Abhadrani Vidunoti, washed away. Suhrut Satam, when we do it in the association of devotees, when we hear from pure devotees. So, and you see, we are supposed to hear Krishna Katha, but this particular verse, one verse composed by the demigods, just one verse, has complete information of the composition of this universe. I don't know how many of you are going to college or have studied in college or studying science. What is the basic building block of the universe is a core topic in every university, top university. Basic building block of the universe. And this is a complete description of that. But how such a topic is coming in Krishna Katha? If you see this chapter, chapter starts with that the mode of ignorance has superseded all other modes. And mode of ignorance has made Kamsa as its best instrument. You see, this world is operating by three modes of material nature. Just like in this very body, three modes, they compete, and whichever mode wins takes over. Similarly, universal level also, whichever mode is predominant takes over. So ignorance has taken over, and the perfect instrument for ignorance was Kamsa. Kamsa's patron was Jarasandha. His associates are like Chanura, Mustika, Kesi, Putana, Aghasura and likes. And they were creating havoc. Kamsa has already killed 6 sons of Devaki. And then he is waiting for 7th and 8th. 7th, by Krishna's arrangement, was his own plenary expansion, Sankarsana or Balaram. By his order, Yogamaya transferred him from the womb of Devaki to womb of Rohini. Rohini and other wives of Vasudeva have taken shelter in Gokul, in the Angan of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mai. So, when there was a miscarriage of Devaki, nobody could realize. Because ultimately, you understand that much what Krishna wants you to understand. I cannot understand more than what Krishna would reveal to me. Somebody asked me recently, what is an experience? What is an experience? You must know, we all have experience, right? We all have experience. But you don't know what is this experience is. How does this experience arise within us? But just to give you a little idea that with 300 years of rigorous scientific research, even the biggest of scientists, they don't know what is an experience, how does it arise within us. They don't have a proper explanation. And using this verse, I may reflect something, but it is too complicated to be able to internalize, because this is the crux of this world. The world is not outside. This, we say, this is Kartal, right? And this Kartal is outside. No. You imagine, I have no senses, nothing. Whether there is a Kartal or not doesn't make any difference. And my senses are external to me. So, where is the Kartal? So, this Kartal in one form is gross because I am able to hold it. And then when I play, there is subtle aspect of this Kartal by which I perceive certain sound. So every object has a gross form and also it has a subtle form. This is subtle form and this is gross form. So every object has a gross form and subtle form. The experience that we have of any object is not something that happens in the external realm. No, it involves my senses. So all perception that takes place through my senses, gross sensory perception, subtle sensory perception including mind intelligence and false ego, gross sensory perception, sound, touch, form, taste and smell. That is gross sensory perception, subtle sensory perception and suprasensory perception. But this perception or experience, they are revealed. One is revealed through the three modes of material nature via media super soul. The other is revealed suprasensory level directly by Krishna. So experience is a revealed thing. We are given to understand that much, ordained by super soul or ordained by Krishna in case of a pure devotee. That much. Everything is a revelation. One is material revelation, the other is spiritual revelation. Same thing, same energy of Krishna, material energy will be revealed one person to one person, 2% to another person, 3% to another person, and probably 80%, 90% to personalities like demigods. Such that they can speak so eloquently. Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Samsundar, Sri Sri Gaunitai. Sri Sri Radha Damodar. So Kamsa could not understand what happened to Devaki. But pure devotees and demigods, they know very well what has happened. And then Krishna personally revealed himself in the consciousness of Vasudeva. Vasudeva has completed his tapasya. He deserves to be Krishna conscious. Now many times we ask this question. I have been chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And for example, in my case, I have been chanting since 1989. And it's almost like 31 years in this life. And even after chanting 31 years, I still feel I have no taste for chanting. We still feel the dirt within our heart. Sometime we feel very helpless. Why are they there? So the clue is here. If I really want to be devoid of this dirt, it doesn't take more than a moment for Krishna to cleanse it. But they are there because I am attached to it. Please be very sure about it. I have no taste for the holy name. Why? Because I have taste for that which is not holy name. I have the taste for everything else. When I want to maintain other taste, how taste for the holy name would come? So when I say I don't have taste for the holy name, that means I have taste for everything else. 100%. And I want it. In Bhagavad Gita, if you analytically study Bhagavad Gita, there are three actors. Any action that takes place, there are three actors. Who is the first actor? Soul. Who is the second actor? Modes of material nature. And who is the third actor? Who is the third actor? No, I am asking. Who is the third actor? Super soul. There are three actors. That's it. Soul, three modes of material nature, and super soul. What is the role of the soul? What is the role of the soul?
Serving.
Serving. No, in the action, what is the role of the soul?
Desire.
Yes? Anybody else? Yeah? Soul? Lives? No. Any action takes place. Suppose I am playing kartal. This is an action. Right? I am eating. Another action. Are you able to follow? So I said in every action there are three actors. Soul, super soul, three modes of material nature. So what is the role of the soul?
Endeavor.
Yes, anybody else?
Soul transmits the information to the super soul.
Eternal servant of the Lord. Yes. Anybody else? Soul has only very minute role in every action. Either he has surrendered to Krishna, he has not surrendered to Krishna. What is meaning of that? That action either is a Krishna conscious action or a materialistic action. That's all. Soul has surrendered to Krishna, he has submitted to Krishna, or is not submitted to Krishna. You can also say he is in the process of submitting to Krishna, that's fine. So you either have surrendered or not surrendered. That's the role of the soul. Soul cannot do more than that. So now next. Once the surrenderedness is complete, who is the actor? Krishna is completely the actor and his internal potential. His internal potential. Yogamaya. Soul has not surrendered to Krishna. Who is the actor? Three modes of material nature. Soul has no role. Here. Three modes of material nature takes place. So what is the role of super soul then? What is the role of super soul? Why super soul is necessary? Is that clear? Because soul surrenders, Yogamaya takes over. Soul doesn't surrender, Maya takes over. What is the role of super soul? Yes. Yeah. Watching and recording our karma. Yes? Yes?
Guiding us.
Yes?
Facilitating the activity.
Soul cannot command three modes of material nature. Soul has no jurisdiction over material nature. Neither soul has jurisdiction over the internal potential or the spiritual nature. Soul is so tiny, it has no jurisdiction. It can make a request. So super soul activates or empowers the material energy. I have three modes of material nature, this body, and that is empowered by super soul. Or gets activated by the super soul. And as Karvajan Prabhu said, if you are in the process of surrendering to Krishna, super soul guides you. Super soul guides you if you are in the process of surrendering to Krishna. Certainly he guides you. So this is how the material nature works. And this very thing has been explained in this particular verse. How this verse is coming suddenly in the midst of, you know, so much of suspense. What is going to happen? Everybody is watching, right? Everybody is watching. What is going to happen? The demigods are in their toes. What's going to happen? Sankarsan has been transferred to the womb of Rohini, and Krishna has appeared in the consciousness of Vasudeva. And Vasudeva, it is said, Vasudeva's effulgence far superseded the effulgence of sun. And then Vasudeva transferred Krishna from his consciousness to the consciousness of Devaki, because Devaki is a chaste wife of Vasudeva. And from Vasudeva's, Devaki's consciousness, Krishna got transferred to her womb. By his free will, Krishna agreed to reside in the womb of Devaki. Devaki looked very effulgent. And Kamsa, every day, literally walking, making a visit to prison house. In fact, when he saw his sister is looking so brilliant, and this is the eighth child, he immediately realized that this is Krishna who is going to kill him. Okay? Krishna doesn't hide himself. He gives all information. You know, he didn't come hiding. Oh, I will come sometime when Krishna, Kamsa is not ready, and then I am going to kill him. No. He gave enough before even Devaki has united with Vasudeva. In the marriage, after marriage, the departure procession itself, Krishna declared, I have come here to kill you. But demons cannot understand. Why they cannot understand? Because they are not willing to surrender to Krishna. So Krishna, Kamsa, when saw Devaki, immediately he started thinking, I must kill him, beard her. But then, those days, everything is Vedic culture. People know, if you kill an animal, what reaction you would have. You kill a brahmana, what reaction you would have. You kill a woman, what reaction you would have. Not only that, Kamsa is very much aware, she is my sister. And if I kill her, all my the age will be destroyed, my fame would be destroyed. So that fear, you know, caught him. Now the question here is, even Krishna could have arranged for this fear not to attack him. It happens. There are so many people, they do very cruel killing. Okay? How they do that? Krishna completely makes them forget. What would be the future reaction? But to Kamsa, who was the cruelest among all cruel possible persons, Krishna gave the remembrance, what is going to happen. Why? Because it is Devaki, his own mother. Right? And Krishna's internal potency is perfectly protecting Devaki. Externally, it is appearing, everybody is in that toe. What kind of inflection is going to happen? Right? But one of the person, you know, who never feared this? Devaki and Vasudeva are suffering so much in the hands of Kamsa. But one person was completely oblivious about this suffering. Who is he? Vasudeva? No, Vasudeva is suffering. It is Narada. It is because of Narada, although they were released, they are put again inside the prison. It is Narada who always incited Kamsa to be as cruel as possible. Because for Narada, he is absolutely clear, Devaki and Vasudeva, they are perfectly protected by the internal potency of Krishna. He could dare to do so, but others cannot do it. But anyway, we have to realize how different agency of Krishna, they behave in such a complex manner. And it appears, you know, Kamsa can do anything, but he is not able to kill Devaki. Okay? He restrained himself. But day in, day out, in dream, in sleep, in awake, every moment, he is only thinking of Krishna. In fact, he has become perfect Krishna consciousness only unfavorably. If someone were to become Krishna conscious, one must become Krishna conscious like Kamsa, but favorably. But favorably. So as soon as Krishna is in the womb of Devaki, demigods started celebrating. Because this is the time of celebration. It's the time of celebration. Because Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form comes only 125 years, 425 earthly years in the total of 4.3 billion years. We had computed this is like 0.0000 fraction of that totality of Brahma's day. So he said, you know, you put on your eyebrows and gone. Everybody is waiting Krishna to come. This is the biggest celebration. And demigods, they are offering wonderful prayer. And what a beautiful prayer. You know, sometimes we say prayer means, oh Krishna, you are my master. Right? So normal good prayer, like what Kunti Devi is saying. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Namo Pankaja Navaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankaja Angre. These are wonderful prayer. But this is the prayer by demigods. Why are they making this prayer? So demigods are the greatest scientists. We worship many scientists here, right? Tiny scientists who get Nobel Prize, we celebrate. But they are real scientists, these demigods. They are in the affairs of universal, they are in the management of the universal affairs. They know how this universal structure is there, how this operates, and what is their role? They perfectly know it. So let us now focus. Oh, I remain in periphery mostly. So let me go a little bit here to the verse. Because this is a very, very, scientific verse. But we must have some idea about this verse. So, this body and this universal body. Prabhupada is saying they're one. Why? Because this body is made up of earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. So also universal body. So also universal body. The soul of the universal body is Krishna. The soul of this body
is a living entity, but also super soul. Because the khaga, khaga means bird. Khaga also refers to Garuda. Khaga asane khagapati, khatanti lakshmi saraswati. This, the two birds, they are living in this body, are, one is the soul, the other is super soul. And this body is made up of 8 elements. And the compositions of these elements are very wonderful. Because you see, this body operates by 3 potencies. One is ignorance, second is passion, and third is goodness. The potency of goodness, and you may say that they are independent. No. The goodness derives its strength from Vishnu. Passion derives its strength from Brahmaji. And ignorance derives its strength from Lord Shiva. So they are not independent. And ultimately, they all derive their strength from Krishna. And then it says, the cause of the tree forming the 3 roots, the goodness, passion and ignorance. So the body is a tree, a root, is like a tree. And this tree is sustained by 3 modes of material nature. And what is the fruit of the tree? Fruit of the tree are the 4 juice. That is dharma. First juice is dharma. Nowhere. At least, if you are born in India, you will see, you know, in some parts of India, there is some sense of dharma from the very beginning, very childhood. But you go to West, there is no semblance of dharma, because killing, 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 killing. The very process of eating is just killing. Where there can be dharma? So dharma is the first juice. If you are a human being, you must perform dharma. Dharma is situated in 4 legs. Satya, truthfulness, compassion, daya, austerity, tapa, and cleanliness, saucha. Once I was in Amarkantak, and I reached around 9 o'clock in the night. I checked into some ashram. I got up, took bath, came out. I saw the watch. It's 5 o'clock, and still the ashram people are still sleeping. They are not active. I came out because I'm the new person in Amarkantak. And I went out and I'm looking. Nobody is there. And suddenly I saw one sannyasi is walking. He looked at me, smiled. I smiled. He said, please come and join. So I joined. I asked, in which direction Narmada? He said, I don't know. I'm the first timer. We walked. Let's walk. As we walked, just maybe 200 meters in front, we saw hundreds of buses, tourist buses, and people have got down, and the night they are sleeping on the ground, covering a bedsheet on them. The sky is the roof, and the ground is their house. And when he saw this, and he's a Nepali, this person is a Nepali, and he told me, this is what I like about India. I said, this is how we must live. Why we have to make big, big skyscrapers just to live? When sky is your roof, and Krishna has given enough ground to sleep, and they are sleeping blissfully.
This is called dharma. Dharma means to remain austere, to be always truthful, to be always clean, to be always compassionate. This is dharma. If in a human body we are not able to perform this, we are not human. We are animals. We are animals. So dharma is first. And when we practice dharma, earlier Vedic style was 5 years, after 5 years, one is sent to Gurukula to practice dharma in the Gurukula of the teacher. One teacher. And they are trained in the Vedic way of life. And those who graduate from that Gurukula, they take up Gruhastha, they have to have some Artha Vyavastha. This is called Artha. Somebody is intellectual, performs Brahminical activities, gets something in donation. Somebody does administration, gets certain resources. Somebody does business, earns wealth. Somebody does service, you know, acts as a service provider and earns. So that is artha. Dharma, artha. And because when you have artha, you can satisfy your senses minimally. We should endeavor to satisfy our senses minimally. Kama. Okay? Mostly, the kama should be used to procreate a son who would become Krishna conscious. And then, next is moksha, liberation. I would like to give this example to all of you. In 1985, I was studying in NIT Rourkela. I went to my home, and from home I took a cycle and visited one of my friend who is around 6-7 kilometers or 8 kilometers from my house, from my village. So I cycled. After lunch, I took the cycle and left. And almost around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, I reached the village. And I saw there is a, you know, every village is associated with a cow grazing field. And normally that grazing field was used for all kind of melas, celebrations, right? So I saw that field is filled with people. I thought probably there is some mela going on. I went there and then I saw howling of ladies crying, beating their chest, you know, crying profusely. I said probably somebody died. And then I noticed that 5-6 very elderly people, they are giving solace to everyone. We have done our job. We have given our daughters in marriage. We have given our sons. We have settled our sons. We have nothing to do now. Now is the time to take exclusive shelter of Krishna. And I found that these people, these very people, this is a tradition of this village. Every year, 5-6 people will leave this village. They will go to Jagannath Puri on foot, and from there they will come to Vrindavan on foot. And it is known in the village, while traveling or while in the holy name, they will die. They will never return. And that's why this is a grand farewell they are making, and people are crying. This is called dharma, artha, moksha, kama. This is how Vedic society was organized, was structured. Very wonderful society. Okay? So this is being said. And we don't follow this. Right? And then the 7 layers of bark covering of the tree, experience. What are the experience? Dharma, artha, mokha, kamya, what are the experience? Experience is lamentation. Just see, what are the experience you have here? Lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger and thirst. That's all we experience when we are in ignorance. Okay? And the other compositions. I think I even didn't read the total purport. Already 9 o'clock. So let me conclude by saying what is, because I have read the purport, so I would like to conclude. You see, while we perform Krishna conscious activity, simultaneously, we must be aware of the workings of our material body. Because although we are soul, we are eternal servant of Krishna, we are in this body. This body is carrier of information. It is carrying information genealogically and karmically. Karmic information, I have taken trillions of birth. Trillions of birth. And every action I perform, I create one birth. I kill someone, I have one birth. I take a fruit from a tree, I have another birth. I become indebted to so many people because that is how I survive here. I have all those births waiting for me. I have taken such birth. And the way I have acted, those karmic memory is there in my subtle body, mind, intelligence and false ego. And then I am, because of certain karma, I have got a birth in a specific family. In a specific family. That family has a genealogical tree. At least in India, we know that's called Gotra. Kashyapa Gotra. Or Sandilya Gotra. Some Gotra. So this genealogical tree, father, forefather, forefather, Gojan. So that memory. Okay, that memory is there in this 120 trillion cells. You know, suddenly if all your forefathers have to be here in front of you, you'll see somebody's nose is in your body, somebody's ear is in your body, somebody's even a bodily mark is there in your body. You'll be amazed. That's how memory has come to your body. Right? So, all this karmic memory, genealogical memory, we are shrouded. And we are told now to become Krishna conscious. How we become Krishna conscious? So that is why Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness should not be converted to sentimentalism. Because most of the time, we have seen this Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The greatest danger is not from Mayavadis. Greatest danger is not from atheism. Our cult is always being subverted by the Sahajism. When we do not practice Krishna consciousness, adhering to the principles as given by Acharyas for us within ISKCON, as it has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We don't strictly adhere. We will enter into Sahajism, sentimentalism. That is the greatest danger to Krishna conscious culture. And that is why we must know
as we progress in Krishna consciousness, how these elements, the universal compositions, they act vis-a-vis the soul. The role of super soul, the role of eight elements, the role of the body as it is given here, the blood, the skin, the bone, the marrow, semen and everything. What is their role? And of course, you know, as I told you, one verse, we can go on speaking on this verse probably years. So much of things are there, but demigods, they are very extraordinarily knowledgeable. They are extraordinary scientists. They are, they are powerful, extraordinarily powerful. So when they offer to Krishna, in the presence of Krishna, their intelligence becomes absolutely clear. And they can speak the basic building blocks of the universe the way they are in few verses. And that's what they are doing. Thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any question or comment? You see, in this world, you will see might is the right, survival is the fittest. One can see it. Competition is happening. Even two devotees, they come under one roof. After some time, competition starts. By observing the human behavior, you can see there is always competition. One upmanship of one person over other. Even husband and wife, under one roof, there is competition. Competition everywhere. So, this root of this competition is three modes of material nature. One tries to dominate the another mode. Okay? And this will go on. You can't stop it. You can't stop it because they are dynamic. What is happening? Why this competition is there? What propels this competition? Okay, let me tell you what propels this competition. If the sum total of population are in mode of goodness, so mode of goodness will prevail, will dominate. Sum total of population in mode of passion would prevail. Sum total of population in mode of ignorance would prevail. Right? Why? Because this body consists of three modes, right? And I am situated in an environment. The environment is mostly mode of goodness would prevail. That is why we are said, please remain within a spiritual community. Because mode of goodness would prevail there. You go out, if that is mode of ignorance would prevail. Even if you have practiced mode of goodness, because you expose yourself to mode of ignorance would finish you. Because that would prevail. Environment would have substantial impact upon your tiny amount of ignorance. Because this ignorance that I have
is very tiny part of ignorance, of the sum total of ignorance that is existing in the entire universe. Right? So that is how competition is there everywhere. One is trying to dominate over another. That is the basic nature of this world. Yeah. Right, right.
Like, we learn that bhakti is something which is beyond all. Like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that I am not this, not this, but it's beyond Varnashrama. And in another sense, it's a continuous flow of sentiment. It's a matter of heart. It's not just a matter of brain, actually. So, will you please elaborate more?
Very good, very good, very good. You see, always Prabhupada said, our enemy is not living outside. Our enemy is always inside. So, you know that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in the horizon of our Gaudiya Vaishnava movement, that time literally our Vaishnavism was finished. And there was only Sahajism all around. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the beginning, he could not accept Bhagavatam. Because the general population, they took it, Krishna is a playboy. Why they took Krishna as a playboy? Because Sahajiyas, they would talk about Krishna, but they were into womanizing. They were into all kind of illicit activities. And the aristocratic people, they could not take them seriously. Right? And only when Bhaktivinoda Thakur read Chaitanya Charitamrita and understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then only he started accepting Krishna. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What he stands for? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stands for very strict adherence to Krishna conscious principles. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu banished Chota Haridas for a small mistake. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict with his own eternal associates. Whereas he was very liberal. We have seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very liberal to his Grihastha devotees. Right? But he was extremely strict with those who assumed the dress of sannyasa. Because in Kali Yuga, one should not accept sannyasa unless you have actually attained that mood. You should not take sannyasa. So similarly, when we, you see that, what is our goal? Our goal is that we should please Krishna. How do we please Krishna? There are two approaches. You do intense bhajan or you do intense preaching. Right? So when we preach, how can we preach? Right? You preach only when you practice. You must practice every day. Every day, early morning, you get up, you have to be in front of the deities. And then you have to chant your rounds. And you may feel every day I am doing it, and still I am not getting taste. You may be struggling, I may be struggling, all of us we are struggling. But we must do it. We must do it. Instead of thinking, this. You know, I remember one Prabhupada disciple, and I don't want to name, and he made a very, very infamous statement saying that why ISKCON imposes morning program on us? That happens. Because sometimes you say, every day I have to get up early morning, I have to be in Mangala Arati, I have to chant my rounds. No, let me follow. Hey, I am already Krishna conscious. Let me do my things the way I want. This is wrong. This is certainly wrong. Prabhupada has given us a timetable. I like one of the things that, you know,
one of Prabhupada's disciples is His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Even if he goes to bed 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the night, you will see him in the altar, wherever he is, at 4 o'clock. Never violates. Wonderful, strict discipline. You like or you don't like, whether it is very, very tough, doesn't matter. We must follow the principles. Even if we have become pure devotees, we have become raganuga, but still we must follow sadhana bhakti. Sanatana Goswami, every day, morning, he would go do Govardhan Parikrama, finish 64 rounds, interact with the Brajavasis, give many people many advice. And then his day starts exactly at 6 o'clock in the evening. He'll put up a lantern and start writing his books. So this sadhana bhakti is very, very important for us. We should never neglect it. Never neglect it. Sahaja, sentimentalism, keep it within. Keep it within. We must have sentiment. When we come in front of the deity, express yourself internally. Cry, break your head, but not publicly. Right? So, and if you really want to show your sentiment, show by intense preaching. That is what Prabhupada wanted. For preaching, you have to take so much of risk. It's not so easy. Extreme risk you have to take. You have to fight against atheism, fight against Mayavadism. Go and do it instead of showing a show business inside the temple. Okay? Hare Krishna. I think we are already late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar ki. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki.